rummaging around in the Bible. I do that a lot. And I saw a scripture recently that said in Ephesians, the 6th chapter, about the 10th verse, it said, "Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might." And I began to look at that, and it kind of jumped off the page. You ever had a situation where you're reading the Word and it just jumped off the page at you, and you knew that the Holy Ghost was trying to get a message to you? And so I saw in that where there's two avenues of strength. You got to be strong in the Lord. So that intrigued me. And the Lord began to deal with me about that, and He said this to me. He said, "In your relationship with me, you should find all the strength you need just because you know me." Yeah. Well, let me go say that on this side. He said, "In your relationship with me, you find strength just because you know me." In other words, you need to tell the devil, "Do you know who I know?" You know, I had a man tell me recently, he said, "You better quit talking about the devil like that. He'll get you." Bless his heart. You can only go as far as your revelation.
That's right. Yeah, that's right.
And so he was going as far as he could. He thought the devil could do anything he wanted to, any time he wanted to. If that was true, we'd all be dead already.
Yeah.
Right? But when you know who you are, and you know who your daddy is, and you know a little something about him, you can be strong in him. And so we've been around my house. I have been trying to practice that, to meditate on being strong in my relationship with Him. And I've found out that the stronger I get in my relationship with Him, the stronger He is in my life. And then we also, this is just sermon number one. I got something I really want to share with you. But sermon number one, I just felt impressed. We sung about the reason for the season tonight. You could tell that might have been the whole theme of our praise and worship. All right. But anyway, this just kind of, I was just sitting there minding my own business. And how many people know the Holy Ghost is a genius?
Amen.
And I tell you, if you'll listen to Him, He'll make you look smart.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so, and then there's another avenue, and in the power of His might. And we understand over in Ephesians, the 1st chapter, about the 19th verse, it said, "And what is the exceeding greatness of His power?" Right? The exceeding greatness usward to those that believe. And then Ephesians 3:20 says, "And He's the one that's able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think."
Yeah. Yeah.
So once you realize who you are, just when the devil comes to your house this week, just tell him and say, "You don't know who I know." And you don't know what He can do, because our minds cannot even fathom the exceeding greatness of His power. Amen.
That's right.
He can make the sun go backwards. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And did.
Amen.
Amen. So I just wanted to share that with you, because I think a lot of times we get in life and life beats us down and we forget who we are.
Yeah. Come on.
Right?
Yeah.
And you have the right now to say, "This is not supposed to be happening to me."
Yes.
And not be arrogant about it.
Right.
But you can just say, "This should not be happening in my house."
Amen.
Because I know the one who delivered me. And I'm strong in Him. And this is not supposed to happen to me. Because I'm His child. And because His exceeding great power can deliver me from anything that you can do to me. Life, curse, Satan, demons. There's a power that you can't fathom that's at my disposal.
Amen. That's right.
Well, I just preach myself happy. Glory to God.
Yeah. Amen.
So we're just happy to be here. We love coming here. I like coming here because there's no pressure on me. All I do is be a water boy. Right? Right? And so I'm a good water boy. I got to see water to see God to the increase. That's what we got. So let's pray tonight, because I've already got something I want to share with you. Father, tonight in the name of Jesus, we know why He came. And we thank You, Lord, for sending Him to that virgin. In the name of your name. He grew up, He came in a very humble way, but He left the grave sacred to be. He took everything that Satan was putting under His feet, and He annihilated it. And then heard. And so, Father, we try that tonight. We believe that tonight. Father, if You help us, we'll be blessed. We'll give You glory for it in Jesus' name. Amen. My father trained me. I worked with him for 14 years before we started traveling. And my father trained me. He said, "Son, when you get to the place to where you study for a message," he said, "you need to quit." I got a holy hush there. Let me go over here. He said, when you start studying for a message, you need to quit. And then he told me in 2 Timothy, it says that the husbandman must be the first partaker of the fruit. And so we began to study that and look at it, and we realized that this whole 2 Timothy, the second chapter, is talking to ministers. And the minister must be the first partaker of the fruit. Because now we're not preaching on hearsay, we're preaching from experience. And so tonight I want to just share this with you because the Lord began to deal with me about it. The Lord has been dealing with me in two areas. Area number one is honor. Area number two is obedience. Honor and obedience. You can't separate the two. You will always obey who you honor. Right? You know, many people honor their checkbooks. Okay, let me go over here. They honor their jobs. They honor their house. They honor a lot of different things. But whoever you honor, you will obey. And most of the time, we honor other things. All of our thought process, all of our feelings, you don't know what you're honoring. What you need to do is what you do. There will your heart be also. That'll be your answer. You put it in minutes. How hard to find out who they're honoring? Honor me, unless you honor my word. Read my Bible. You heard that right? People say the reason why people don't read the Bible. And my father told me he's trained. I went to the office one day and I said, I used to take his brain for 14 years. And so I said, how can I be godly? He said, I said, read your Bible. What it says to do, do it. So I'm reading. He stopped. I said, is that it? He said, yeah. The more of the Bible you obey, the more like God you become. Now notice, he didn't say we would be God. Right. He said, but we can't be God. Right. But we can be like God. Yeah. And then he made this statement that blew me out of the tub. He said, the more like God you are, the more of God's results you'll get.
Yeah. Amen. That's good.
My dad was I miss him. The more like God we are, the more like the results of God we get. Can I just go a little deeper here tonight in this church? Because I believe I can.
Sure.
I honestly believe, and I don't think this is being hyper faith or out of the way. I believe that we can become so like God that we can eliminate Satan's attacks before he ever attacks. That we can walk free from a lot of things that unfortunately people are dealing with. But the more we get like God, the more we can be elevated above that. And we can walk above that. Can I show you that in the Word? Look with me in 2 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. Are we doing okay? You know, I get a lot of people, They one pastor told me the other day, and when I'm talking about pastors, I'm not criticizing, but they're the people I deal with. They told me, said, Brother Ken, you're teaching people that they can have God's best.
Amen.
Come on. Yeah.
I had no answer because I thought we could. Will y'all agree with me that I'm telling people you can have his best? Now, don't get me wrong. You know, over in the Bible it says in Mark that these are they that hear that are on good ground, such hear the word and receive it and bear fruit, some 30, some 60, and some 100. Now, don't get me wrong. 30, I'd rather have 30 than none.
Right?
Amen. Right? I'll take 30 over nothing because I've lived 28 years with the nothing.
Yeah.
And nothing from nothing leaves nothing.
Right.
But the 30 is good, but wouldn't 60 be better? That's double what the 30 is. So now we're cruising down the highway here on the 60, right? And we're going, oh yeah, this is nice. But what about if we move on up to the 100? That's everything God's got at the highest level He wants to give it.
Yes. Amen.
And you know, I had somebody tell me, well, I didn't know you was greedy. I said, well, I am. Because you can have the same thing. Because the 100 is available to everybody. Well, would you say this to me tonight, that the 100 is God's best? Well, if we can get it, then why don't we get it? But here's the problem. It takes a little honor. and it takes a lot of obedience.
Yes. Amen.
Right?
Yes.
And then I have people come up to me, well, all you faith preachers do is preach works.
Yeah. Come on.
I said, you got me.
Yeah. Come on.
We got a lot of people reading the Bible, not doing a thing.
That's right.
And they're telling people it's passed away. Right? Those things that went away with the apostles. And we're not going to get any of this stuff until we finally get to heaven. And then we're going to get everything God's got. Well, Jesus said we could pray His kingdom come, will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Is that God's best? It says we can have it right here, right? But it says we got to pray about it. We got to begin to honor His word. We got to begin to act on His word. We got to begin to think about His word more than we do everything else.
Yes, sir.
Yes. 2 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. Before I forget this. Well, you're telling people they can have God's best. I'm telling you exactly. I just believe that God, He said, I have prepared a table for you in the presence of your enemies. And I don't believe He put half of what He had on it. Right? He said, now I'm going to give you just a little taste of it. You know, nibble on it just a little bit. I'm going to dangle that carrot in front of you like a hog. You know, you remember that commercial where those two women were in that place and this one woman was able to buy a purse because she saved so much on her insurance. The other one called her and this old man came out with a fishing pole and a dollar bill on it. And you know, and she reached over and grabbed it. Got to be quicker than that. You know, a lot of people think God's that way.
Yeah. Yeah.
But He's already put it on the table, you precious people.
Yeah. Yeah.
In other words, now what I got to do is I got to get to the table.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, then the question is, what is the table? It's Genesis to the maps.
Come on. Yeah. Yeah.
And I never saw anything in there where God said, well, I'm going to bless you just a little bit. He said, I wish above all things. Now this was John speaking to Gaius, but I believe the Holy Spirit inspired him. I wish above all things that you prosper. Spirit, soul, body, financially, and socially. Across the board. And I want you to be in health. Even as your soul prospers. 30. 60, 100. In other words, the more prosperous you get here, the more prosperous you get here. The more healthy you get here, the more healthy you get here. How many people know that God wants us to be well, whole, healed from the top of our head to the, and I never saw in there where it says this works until you get 60 years old. Right? Anyway. Let me get off of that. I'm just about ready to preach. Glory to God. We can have God's best, and that's what I'm trying to accomplish. Let's go right here. Y'all been taught this chapter well, but let's just go down here to where I wanted to get to. Let's start in 6. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool. For I will say the truth, but now I forbear lest any man should think of me above that which he sees me to be or that he hears of me. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelation. Can we say that together? And lest I be exalted above measure by the abundance of revelation. Well, let me say that one more time. Unless I be exalted above measure by the abundance of revelation. In other words, there is a place in our lives and our walk with God that we can be exalted. We will only be exalted as high as our revelation will allow us to be exalted. Amen? That's as high as we can go is our revelation. But Paul said, lest I be exalted above measure. You know what he's saying? Unless I be exalted above every circumstance, every situation, every problem, every test, every trial that would come my way, the abundance of revelation that I have will exalt me above measure. In other words, it will raise me up out of the clutches of whatever I'm dealing with, and it'll set me above it. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Yeah.
And he was saying that people preach it like this. Well, then he talks about the thorn. And he said, and because of that revelation, there was a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. Did you see that? Let me share this with you. The more revelation you get, the more the devil's going to come. Because if you knew what he knew about that revelation, honey, we'd get real greedy about it.
Right. Come on.
That's good.
It's a shame that the devil knows more about the revelation and what it'll do for us than sometimes we get so busy that our minds are somewhere else. And I'm not criticizing at all. Life is busy.
Yes.
But honey, there's only one thing that's going to exalt you above measure. And that's the revelation of the Word of God.
Yeah. Amen.
And the more that revelation you walk in, the more exalted you become. Do you believe, like I believe, that there's actually a place in life that we can be drama free?
Yes.
Well, I get a holy hush every time I say that. Do you believe that we can get so involved in the Word and that the Word can work in us so strongly that it can ward off a lot of things that we deal with unnecessarily?
Yeah, absolutely.
And then they said that thorn in the flesh came from God to keep Paul from keep him humble.
Yeah.
Well, that's not even what it said right there, was it? And when has God ever needed the devil's help to get somebody's attention?
Amen.
Call the devil up. Hey, I got a little problem with Paul down there. And because you kind of gouge him a little bit with that thorn and get, you know, put him, he needs an attitude adjustment. So you do that for me because I can't do it.
Yeah. Come on.
All right.
Yeah.
So then, we understand that the best that God has is available to us. And it's there for the taking. It's on the table. It's already on the table. All we have to do, reach out there and get it just a little bit. So then, my dad told me another little nugget. He would take me in his office and he told me this at least 1,000 times. He said, Kent, you cannot effectively preach God's Word without lovingly and concern put the responsibility in the lap of the hearer.
There you go. That's right. Amen.
That's a holy hush right there. I know. I understand that. He said, you can't do it, Ken. He said, but you cannot beat them over the head with the Bible. It's not supposed to be a weapon except against the enemy. It's supposed to be fed to the children. But he said, ultimately, what you share with them, the responsibility of how far they go with it is in their lap. And I don't know about you, but I've had 0, I've had 30, I've had 60, I've had some 100, and the 100 is better. And it made me think about things that used to get my attention. It's just not worth it anymore. It's just not worth it anymore. You know, we're all tangled up in this Christmas thing. It's just not worth it anymore.
Come on.
Absolutely not worth it anymore. We've talked, Connie and I, we have talked to blessed people. They are so stressed out right now. And we're supposed to be celebrating the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords entering the world to finish the work that God called him to finish. And I've never understood why we get so tore up about Christmas, because it was Easter when it went down.
Yeah.
Isn't that amazing? We go to dinners and we get presents and all that. And Easter is when it happened.
Yeah.
That's when Satan left. When Jesus left, Satan was on his knees saying, Jesus is Lord.
Amen.
And it's amazing we get all these presents at Christmas time and a Easter bunny in Easter.
Yeah, come on.
People get stressed out. I mean, bless their hearts. Anyway, so then let's get into this just a little bit. Honor and obedience. Honor and obedience. Turn with me to Deuteronomy, the 8th chapter. And I want to read the 3rd verse there, and then I want to read Matthew 4:4 and bring it into the new. Deuteronomy 8, verse 3. He humbled you and suffered you to hunger. He fed you with manna which you didn't know, neither did your fathers know, that he might make you to know that man does not live by bread only, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Man does not live by bread only, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Now, how much of the word are we supposed to live by? Every word. From Genesis to Revelation, we need to get this incorporated into our daily routine. People say, well, I work 10 hours a day. Well, I understand that. He's not asking you to spend 5 hours in the Word. But can you read one chapter and then do it all day?
Come on. That's good. There you go.
No pressure, right? Can you read one chapter, take a few notes, and do what it says do? Refrain from what it says not to do? And then you will become God-like and His results will begin to manifest in your life. Now go over with me to Matthew, the 4th chapter and the 4th verse. And you know He's being tempted for 40 days and 40 nights. He's fasted 40 days and 40 nights. And the Bible says afterward He was hungry. Said the tempter came to Him and said, if thou be the Son of God, command these stones that they be made bread. Jesus, notice this, he did not allow his focus to go on his stomach only. Because I'll guarantee you his belly was rubbing his backbone. And notice that Jesus did not respond to Satan from the flesh. Even though his flesh was screaming. I've gone a couple of days. And I could have ate a doorknob. So I can imagine what Jesus felt. But notice that Jesus looked at him and he responded to him with another food. Man does not live by that bread. He said, man does not, for it is written, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Is that what it said?
Yeah.
Every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Mm-hmm. So then, let me share this. If it was that important for Jesus to respond from the Word, do you believe it's important for us to respond from the Word? Now, you can take this right here and you can go right into Ephesians 6, verse 16, and you can begin to teach on the shield of faith, which is not a literal shield, but the shield of faith is your tongue. And you do exactly how, you deal with your problems just exactly like Jesus did. You don't put it on Facebook. Oh, Jesus, let me go over here. Because 50% of the people on Facebook are as glad it's you and not them.
Yep.
And the other 50% simply do not care. Amen?
Amen.
And you don't go around talking about your problem.
That's right.
The Bible does not say for us to talk about our mountain.
Come on.
The Bible doesn't say anything about describing our mountain. Because it doesn't matter about the mountain. We sung tonight, I speak the name of Jesus. And God already knows how big your mountain is. The Holy Ghost already knows how big your mountain is. And no need to get on the phone and call people and say, well, I just feel so bad. I'm just so depressed. I feel like I've lost my last friend. How can you lose the one that sticks closer than a brother? How can you lose the one that said, I'll be with you always, even until the end of the age? How can you do that when he told Joshua, he said, I'll be with you. I will never forsake you. I'll be with you. And he told Joshua, he said, no man will ever be able to stand in your presence. He told Gideon, he said, I will make the Midianite nation and I'll reduce them to the strength of one man.
Yeah.
A whole nation and they're not able to do anything but one man.
Yeah. Come on. Yeah.
So he said, man does not live. That's the shield of faith. Everything that comes against us, we answer it. It is written.
Yeah. Amen.
It is written. And we answer it with what the Bible says about it.
Yes. Amen?
Amen?
Yes.
We tell Satan, you can't touch us.
Amen.
If we don't allow you to.
That's right.
Satan can only do to us in our lives what we allow him to do, or what he can deceive us into allowing him to do. And when Satan comes against you, it's nothing personal. He just wants to find out what level of revelation do you have. Because he knows revelation can exalt you right out of his hands, and there's nothing he can do about it.
Amen.
So then, let's look at this. Look with me in John, the 4th chapter and the 32nd verse. Now this is just what Connie and I do at home. We have learned to stand hand in hand, and we have learned to stand on the Word of God, and we have come to the place not trying to brag. We already know what the result's going to be. We already know. Because He's done it for us so many times. Every time He's done it. He's faithful. He's not going to change. The Bible says in James, it said that every good and perfect gift comes from above, from the Father of lights. I'm doing a Mike Manuel here. I'm going to quote one. Is that all right?
Yeah.
Comes from a Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning.
Yeah. Yeah.
So whatever he did in the days when he was with the apostles, he's still doing the same thing today because he doesn't vary.
Right.
Amen.
Now, look right here in John 4, verse 32. Are y'all doing all right out there? Because
yeah.
I sure have preached myself happy. Let's see what it says here.
Yeah.
In verse 32, he said to them, his disciples, I have meat to eat that you know not of. Now, that confused those old boys. Because
yeah.
They looked at him and said, well, let's just see. Here's what they said. Therefore said his disciples one to another, has any man brought him anything to eat? You see, we can be natural minded, easy. It's our nature. I never had any problem sinning. I never had to practice sinning. Because I'm just like, you know, it's just like a quail doesn't have to practice staying on the ground. It's his nature. Amen. And he said, I've got meat. And they said, well, has anybody brought him anything to eat? You see, their revelation, they were not living by every word of God. And I'm amazed. People say, well, if I could just see Jesus, I could believe. No, they saw him every day. They couldn't believe. Every single day. They saw him raise the dead. Never fazed them. They were still natural. Now look what he said. I have meat to eat that you don't know anything about. They said, well, has anybody brought him anything to eat? And Jesus said in verse 34, Jesus said to them, my meat or my nourishment or my sustenance is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Now look in chapter 6, verse 38. Jesus said, for I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. So then, if Jesus could come down and his main focus was the will of God, do you believe we can do that? Can we get to the place to where our main focus, nothing else is important anymore except the will of God? I know it's a tall ask. I mean, this is not easy. I understand that. But when we honor the Word, we will begin to look at it like our food. We will begin to look at it like, I have to have that more than I need my next breath. And I may not have time but to read one chapter, but I'm going to write these notes down and I'm going to meditate on that one chapter all day long and what it tells me to do. I don't care about anything, but what does God want me to do? Now, turn with me, if you would, to Job, the 23rd chapter, and we'll see this. In the 12th verse, Job 23, verse 12, it says, neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. In other words, I keep his commandments in my mind all the time. I have not turned my back on his commandments. And I esteem his word more than my necessary food. Now, when we get to the place, and I'm just saying, I'm sure you guys are here, are like that. It's that church down the road down there. If y'all will just tell them what I said, you'll help them.
Come on. There you go.
Because I know everybody in this place esteems or regards or realizes that the Word of God is more important than my food. And let me just go a little bit farther. The Word of God is more important than my breath.
Yes. Amen. That's right.
Come on. Amen.
Because I can live without the Word and live in a bad state.
Yes.
But the Word of God has to become our number one focus in our lives. Because as I said, the more of the Word we honor, the more of the Word that we incorporate into our life, the more of God we have in our life. And I don't know if anybody else in here is like me, but I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. I've had my brains beat out many, many times. And I want you to know I'm sitting there going, I'm a child of God. This is not supposed to happen to me. Has anybody ever said, I've had many people come up and say, I got some things going on. It's not supposed to be happening to me. But it's happening to me. Why? I told them, I said, what's your level of revelation concerning your situation? They'll go, I just want you to lay your hands on me and make it go away. Well, honey, it just don't happen that way, does it? I don't have a magic wand, abracadabra, and click my heels together twice and all of a sudden every problem you ever had go away. But you can do it. You can apply the shield of faith to it. For it is written, how can I be depressed when the oil of joy and of a mourning is on me right now? The joy of the Lord is my strength. How can I be depressed when I have the joy of the Lord?
Yes. Right. Come on. That's good.
It's because you can know you got it and it still not do you no good. Sorry, that's not good English right there. Excuse
me.
Amen. I know a lot of people know they got a gun, but if you don't pull the trigger, honey, we're loaded. We're locked and loaded. We're armed and dangerous people. I'm telling you we are. But most of us, we feel more than conquered instead of more than a conqueror. We're too busy talking about our mountain. He didn't say talk about your mountain. He said talk to it. I've had people walk up to me after service. Well, Brother Ken, how long should I talk to it? I said, come here and sit down. I said, how many times did you tell your kids to clean that room up before they got it clean?
Yeah, come on.
I don't know if you was in my house. It took a little talking. Clean that room up. I said, clean that room up. Right?
Come on.
And finally, they cleaned that room up just to get me off their back.
Come on.
Honey, you need to keep talking to the devil till you get him off your back. It's that whoever wins the argument is the one that gets the last word. That's why we have a perfect marriage. I always get the last word. I told her, I said, now I'm going to get the last word here. And I look at it and I go, I'm sorry. And the argument's over. But I got the last word. Amen? Well, actually, we don't argue anymore. We have intense fellowship. So, he said, I didn't come down here from heaven to do anything but His will. So Jesus was to at the place to where He didn't care about anything but what God wanted. And He esteemed His word, He regarded His word more important than their necessary food. And let me just tell you how I do it. I like to be transparent. I've got to the place that when I talk to the Lord about something, I just tell Him, Father, I'm not accepting anything less.
Right. That's right.
Now, people, they'll go, you talk to Him like that? I said, I'm not being disrespectful. He wouldn't have inspired it to be written if He didn't want us to have it. And so I just go to the throne. I just go in my prayer closet. I say, now, Father, I'm not accepting anything less. Now, Your word says it. I'm not accepting anything less than what Your word says. So from this day forward, out of my mouth is going to come in. Whatever the word says is exactly what's going to happen. And I say it until it happens. Father, Your word said this, and I'm going to have this. This has got to happen in my life because I know You. You know me.
Come on. Amen.
I'm marked.
Yes.
I'm sealed with the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
You know me.
Yes.
And I know You're not going to let this go until it happens exactly the way You said it.
Yes.
Now, if I take a running spell here in a minute, I'll be back.
But
there's a Pentecostal leg kick in there somewhere right there. Amen.
Yes.
Glory to God. Now turn with me to Jeremiah just for a second. Let me quit hollering at you. I didn't come down here. Y'all didn't come down here for me to holler at you. Let me get it from a 10 to a 4. Look right here in Jeremiah. I think it's the first chapter in the 12th verse, if my memory serves me correct. I believe it does. Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 12. Boy, that brother, you're good, brother. Thank you. And I like it that you put it up there in the real Bible. Oh, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding with you. I got every translation known to mankind. Watch this. Then said the Lord unto me, you have well seen, for I will hasten my word to perform it. So now, since we know Him and we're strong in Him, and His will means more to us than our food, we can now go to the devil and say, you might as well let go now. You might as well let go now. Because you're going to let go quick because He's hastening.
Yes. Yes.
Now this is just where we are now. We walk in our house. It's about to happen. It's about to happen. Something good's about to happen.
Yes.
What we're believing God for is about to happen.
Yes. Yes, sir. Amen.
Hallelujah. Yes. Now, let's go over here to Proverbs, the 6th chapter. And it gets a little bit more well defined. Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 23. For the commandment is a lamp and the law is light. For you to honor the word of God, you got to understand what it's designed for. It's designed to shine light in your life and to shine light for your path. Y'all know in 119, 105, a lamp to your feet, a light to your path. You know that one. But this just goes along with that. It says, but the commandment's a lamp and the law is light. Well, if we walk in the light, we'll never make a mistake.
Come on. Amen.
Because it lights up the path that we're supposed to be on. When I first started traveling, I traveled without my wife. This is my wife, by the way, if y'all didn't know her. That's Connie. Stand up for him, Connie. I'm sorry. Stand up for him, wave at him. Say a few syllables. So, when I first started traveling, a lot of times, I tell people this, When you live under the same roof with somebody, you find out things you didn't know when y'all was just seeing each other on the weekend. You think you get that same one. You didn't know. You didn't know. This is why marriages have problems, is because they don't realize if you're not around somebody all the time. Anyway. So I didn't know this about my wife. She's a furniture mover. It's no telling where the furniture will be next week in my house. I just go, oh, it's in the dining room now. Okay, thank you. I know where it is. So I'd come home at 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning, and the furniture would not be where it was when I left. And I didn't want to turn the light on because I didn't want to wake her up. So I just navigated where I remembered where the furniture was. And my little toe has been afflicted many times. It will make you speak in tongues. So whether it woke her up or not, I just got to the place to where I went in. I just turned the lights on. Why? Because I could see where to go. And I could navigate through the house without having inflicted pain in my foot.
Amen.
On my shin. Right?
Yep.
The Word of God is trying to get you to walk through, and you can see everywhere you need to go, how you need to go, what you need to do, when you need to do it. And every time you do what God said, you always get God's results.
Yes. Amen. Yes. Yes.
Amen. And that's what I'm after. I want God's results in my life.
That's very good. Come on.
I want people to walk up to me and go, there's something different about you. You don't talk like everybody else talks. I love to play golf. That's my go-to. That's my getaway. And I go out there, you know, and I'll be playing with some guys. I just go out and play with anybody out there. And all of a sudden, you know what's going to happen about the sixth hole. What do you do, brother?
Yeah.
And I mean, you've heard words that you hadn't heard in a long time, and you've seen things you hadn't seen in a long time. And I go, well, actually, I'm an itinerant minister. I travel all over the country preaching the word. Well, all of a sudden they start hiding stuff, going down in there, pocketing and all of that. And well, I said, we knew something was different about you because you don't cuss and throw clubs.
Yeah.
You know, my daddy told me, he said, you don't have to have a banana night, come be one of the bunch. He said, you don't have to go down the street singing Onward Christian Soldier.
Right.
He said, Ken, just show them.
That's right.
So, anyway, it says, I will. And it says, the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and the reproofs of instruction are the way of life. Another translation says, they will show you how to live. That if you will allow the Word of God, it will change your personality. It will change your demeanor. It will change how you talk to people. There'll be gentleness come up on the inside of you. You'll start being able to overlook their faults and never even let them bother you anymore. And wonder, why am I doing that? You will not want to kill somebody in the Walmart parking lot anymore. Amen? You will not want to talk ugly to the manager when they have 39 cash registers and two of them are open. It'll just get to the place to where it's no big deal. It's just no big deal. All right, let me go on. I got a couple more places I want to go before we go home. Is that all right? Let's get a little bit deeper in this. Go with me to Ecclesiastes, the 12th chapter. Now, I've had a big time. The Lord began to deal with me about honor and obedience. Every Christian, man or woman, needs to develop an honor for the Lord. But it's hard for some people because you can't see. I can honor somebody I can see, but I'm having trouble honoring somebody I can't see. But you got to get to the place to where he's more real than anything you ever see.
Right.
So Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. It's going to say this. Let me get to it. Here we go. It says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole. Now, this is the smartest man that was ever on the planet. This is Solomon talking. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. The first 12 chapters, this is the conclusion of all 12 chapters. Fear God. You know what that fear God means? Honor Him. In other words, you honor Him to the point that you don't want, you'll be careful not to do. You know, David said it like this, I've hid your word in my heart so that I don't sin against you. That's honor. That's knowing how valuable the word of God is. Because if we act on the word of God, let me say it like this. Now, Pastor, you correct me if I'm wrong here. If we walk according to the word of God continuously, we can't sin. Oh, let me put it a better way. It would be the most difficult thing for you to ever do is to sin if you are honoring the word of God continuously. Because it will become so important to you, and your relationship will become so important that you will be leery of even trying something that you just do not want to sin and make Him sad.
Come on. That's good.
Amen? People ask me all the time, how can I quit sinning? Do the Word.
Yeah, that's it.
Do the Word. Mm-hmm. Just do what the Word says.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Let's go on. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God. Keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man.
Yes.
Well, when I saw that, that blew me out of my tub.
Mm-hmm.
The whole duty of man is to honor the Word and follow the Word to the letter. Now, let me read this to you. Out of the, I think it's the Good News Translation. It says, our number one goal and our number one responsibility is to do the Word of God. Boy, when I saw that, I told myself, you got to get busy here.
Yeah.
There's some things you need to get busy on here. So then, let's go over, if you would, this is where I won't get any amens. I really didn't want to say this one, but I'm going to. Luke 6, verse 47. My wife tells me all the time, you never did know when to keep your mouth shut. And I got just a few more minutes if it's okay with y'all. And I'll get out of here. But I think you'll like this one. Luke verse 6, 47. Now, there'll be no amens. Wait, I told you wrong. Could you go to 46 for me? I mean, 46 for me. Let me make sure where that is. We'll go there in just a minute, but I wrote that down wrong in my notes. Luke chapter 6. Here it is. 46. Well, it was on 46. Wait. Hold on a minute. That's not what my Luke 6. Let me just read it right here. Luke 6, verse 46 says, yeah, there you go. Why call ye me Lord and not do the things that I say? Holy moly. I don't know about you, but I felt like I was beat after that one. How can you call me your master and your ruler and you don't do what I tell you to do? I mean, I know. I don't like this anymore than you like it. But in other words, we do not have the right to call Jesus Lord if we do not do what He told us to do. Because that's what Lord is, your ruler. Your master, I like this other one, your overseer.
Yes, that's good. Yes.
My goodness.
Yes.
I wanted to read this to you that I wrote down. I go on this thing called Bible Ref sometime. I don't know if anybody's ever got on that, but it's pretty neat. It says we must make the decision to submit and yield and surrender to God's word as the guidelines by which we conduct our lives. It says submission to God's word sets order and direction in our lives. It brings order into our lives. Watch this one now. But the result of submission and obedience is unimaginable blessings.
Wow. Yeah. Hallelujah.
Yeah. See, I didn't want to keep you down in that hole.
Yeah.
Unimaginable blessings.
Yeah. Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Now, it's time for us to go, but I just want to leave you with, I always like to leave people with a benefit of what I teach. This is a benefit of doing what I've talked to you about tonight. Let's go. Let me look over here and see. Here's the benefit. Let's go to the 26th chapter of Genesis and we'll close. Are y'all doing okay out there? I hadn't made you mad, have I? Here's what I said. Here's what I said when I saw that verse. I said, Lord Jesus, I said, I have failed you. I said, I have read the Bible and set it down and then went right out and did whatever I wanted to do. And I said, and then I would go to church and raise my hands to the Lord. And so I began the Holy Ghost, it's not condemnation, but the conviction just kind of rises up. And when you know that you got some work to do. And so now I tiptoe through life just not trying not to make a mistake.
Come on.
All right, let's go. Genesis 26. And we'll read this story about Isaac and then we'll be dismissed. Now, in the first verse it says, there was a famine in the land beside the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. What you're going to find out is in this chapter, Isaac, he encounters the same problem his daddy encountered. I think it's about the 12th chapter of Genesis. But anyway, it says, and the Lord appeared to him and said, now, do not go down into Egypt, but you dwell in the land which I shall tell you of. Now, Abraham handled this differently. He went to Egypt. But God is telling Isaac, now, just because you're dealing with the same thing your daddy did, I don't want you to do the same thing your daddy did.
Yeah. Right.
But in our minds, we're thinking, are you kidding me? Did you seriously just say that?
Yeah.
My daddy went down to Egypt and they supplied everything we would ever need. The Egyptians did it. But now you're telling me to live here with this cracked dirt that's so dry that nothing's growing, but you're telling me to live here. Now, Isaac's got a choice to make. Can I just say this? Tomorrow when you go out into your lives, you got a choice to make. And God will let you make it. He'll let you make it. So Isaac's got a choice to make here. Do I do what my daddy did because I saw the results my daddy got? Which is my mind says is what I need to do?
Right.
Or should I do something radical and do what the Lord said do?
Right. There you go. Come on. Yeah.
Now you know, well, we'll see here. Let me go on a little bit farther. It said now in the third verse, sojourn in this land, I'll be with you and I will bless you. That's all any of us need.
Yeah.
That's the only word we need. Say this with me. Father, you will be with me and you will bless me no matter what I've got going on in my life. It's going to happen just like your word says. So I'm going to do your word and get your promise. Amen. Because he's telling the Lord, my wife thinks I'm nuts. But anyway, he saw what listening to his wife got Adam. So he said right here, sojourn, I'll be with you. I'll bless you. For unto you and unto your seed I will give all these countries, and I will perform the oath which I swear unto Abraham.
Yeah.
Glory to God. I don't need another word. I don't need anything else from the Lord. I don't need it. Because you promised me you're going to do what you did for him.
Yeah.
Even though there ain't no rain here, and it was in Egypt, but you said you're going to give me what Abraham got right here. So I'm camping right here. I'm not moving. I'm not going to try to figure this thing out. I'm staying right here in this drought. I don't know how it's going to happen. I don't know when it's going to happen. I don't know where it's going to happen, but I know one thing. I'm going to do what your word says. I'm staying right here. Glory to God. All right. Let's go on a little bit farther. And I'll make, well, let's just go right there. Now, let's go over here. Look right here in verse 12. This is a good tithing scripture to share with people. Look at verse 12. Then Isaac sowed in that land. Can you imagine? Went to the seed house. Got seed out. Now, I know my wife, bless her, her whole existence is to keep me straight. And to tell me, what are you doing? And most of the time, she's right. But you know what Rebecca said. Honey, out there poking holes in that dried, cracked dirt, putting seed in the ground. You know she walked out there and she said, honey, are you all right? I need to get you some water. Because obviously, you are wasting good seed here. Because can you not see that? But you know what Isaac said? I got a word from the Lord. I got a word from the Lord. He told me what to do, honey. Honey, you just stand right there. This is what I tell her when she tries to tell me where to go in the car. I say, honey, just sit there and look pretty. You just sit there and look pretty. Because see, I've already got one woman talking to me on a GPS. I don't need another woman telling me where to go. And I just said, you just sit there and look real pretty. And I know that's what Isaac said, honey. You just sit right there and just look real pretty for me. Because I got a word from the Lord. And it said, and Isaac sowed in that land, and he reaped just barely enough for him and Rebekah. Huh? That ain't what your Bible says. He said he sowed in that land, and he received in the same year 100-fold. And the Lord blessed him. Glory to God. I don't know about you, but that cranks my tractor. Amen? With a word from the Lord in obedience, he honored the Lord's word. He obeyed the Lord's word. And the Lord backed the truck up and dumped the whole load.
Yes. Hallelujah. Amen. Yes,
sir. Just by doing what the Lord said do.
Yes, sir.
Glory. Amen? So here's what we find out. You just do what the Lord says. He'll take care of the rest. He'll make sure you get honored for honoring him.
Amen.
Well, did you get anything out of that tonight?
Yes.
Here's what I'm going to do. Whatever the word is, I'm going to do just like my daddy. What the word says do, I'm going to do. What it says not to do, I'm not going to do. Because I want God's results.
Yes.
Let's stand up. Thank you for listening to me. I appreciate it so much. Let me make sure. I'm 5 minutes late. I'm sorry. Forgive me. Forgive me, please. I got a pastor to tell. He's in... You know, a pastor friend of mine in Virginia told me, said, Ken, we love having you. My people love having you, but would you please buy a watch? And I did. Went to Walmart, $59.99. But he did. So, I don't want to leave here without doing this. In case there is anybody in here tonight, and you have not made Jesus the Lord of your life, I'm not talking about shaking a priest.